And that's John 13:34. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. And there's four ways that I said that Jesus loves that I've been looking at. The first was sacrificially, to lay down our lives for each other. I talked about the need to die for self if we really want to love the way Jesus loves, about putting the good of others ahead of our own selves. I talked about the generosity of his love, that the Bible tells us that it's as high as the heavens are above the earth. And it just, you can't even measure that. And so his love is so great, even though we're lawbreakers and sinners and deserve his wrath, that he loves us to the extent that he made a way to satisfy his justice and holiness and show us favor on the cross. And that is such a deep and a boundless love, the deep, deep love of Jesus. And we're to have that kind of love for one another. And a third way that I want to look at this morning is that he loves us without conditions. And we're so familiar, I believe, with this idea. And one way to phrase it would be that there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. And conversely, there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. And this is because God's love does not depend upon what we do. God gives you all of his love without reservation, without cost, and without limitation. And he doesn't dole it out in proportion to our actions. And it's a really good thing that he doesn't. Because if God were to love us based upon our actions and how well we meet his standard of holiness, we would all be unloved. We would all be unloved. The Bible says we all fall short. This is God's testimony to us about ourselves. And Paul quotes the Old Testament when he says in Romans 3, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Man, tell us how you really feel, Paul. And then he writes a verse that we're all familiar with, Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Paul is making it so clear that we just can't earn God's approval. We can't be loved based on our actions. And then he says in chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we got what we deserved, we'd all be dead. But God's love is not based upon our actions. And John fills in our understanding of this when he wrote in 1 John 4:9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And Paul adds to that with Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And Ephesians 2 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I just love the flow of Paul's reasoning here. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. And therefore, we can celebrate the writings of Romans 8. So now there is therefore no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. In that body, he declared an end to sin's control over us. by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. We are free. Hallelujah. Free from condemnation, free from eternal punishment, free to experience God's boundless love. And I'm probably telling you things you already know this morning, and although it's nice to be reminded of God's great love towards us and what he's done for us, especially as we're coming up to Easter, it's good to focus back on the cross, lift our hearts in gratitude to Jesus. But I have a challenge I wish to issue to us this morning. What does loving like Christ loves mean for you and I when it comes to this aspect of his love? That he gave his life while we were yet sinners. To love like God is to love people who are yet sinners. People controlled by the sinful nature, people who can never please God. And we aren't like that anymore because the Holy Spirit regenerated us and made us alive and gave us the power to overcome the sinful nature. But we used to be like that. And God loved us. And we still have areas that we aren't perfect in and battles that we still fight in the flesh. And God still loves us. When God was telling Israel, I read recently, how to treat the poor and the foreigner and the widow and the orphan, he would often use this phrase. Remember, you used to be a slave in Egypt, and I delivered you. So leave a little bit of grain in your fields so that those who are poor and hungry can pick those things off. Why? Because, remember, you used to be a slave in Egypt, and I delivered you. And this is true for you and I today. When we see people giving glory to sin and we think that's terrible, and it is terrible, and we think they're terrible, we need to remember we were once just the same, and God loved us while we were yet sinners. And that love drew us into his presence, and he delivered us from darkness, and he transferred us into light. And we are commissioned to love them and to shine our lights upon them and be Jesus' hands and feet towards them, because the Father says that I'm merciful. I'm going to read the scripture in a minute. Because I'm merciful, be like me. My rain falls on the good and the unrighteous, the just and the unjust alike. I'm not saying we gloss over sin and make compromises with it. But we're supposed to love without conditions. I'm talking about the LGBT community. I'm talking about politicians and lawmakers. I'm talking about principals and teachers and school boards. I'm talking about Muslims and Buddhists. I'm talking about red, yellow, black, and white. What are we putting out there, followers of Christ, champions of love? Jesus' disciples, or let me put it this, following Jesus is hard. I mean, really following him. When you read what he said, his first sermon, Luke 6, the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, this is what it means to follow me. This is the baseline. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. This is hard. But he says this, to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would have them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, so what? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, so what? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, so what? Even loan sharks do the same thing. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Love your enemies. Exclamation point. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. And you will be truly acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And as an aside, you notice that the context of the way to get a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, is to love your enemies and to give to sinners. And if someone takes something from you, do not demand it back. It's hard, but that's what Jesus said. Those are my words. I just read exactly what he said. And this world is insane. There's no way we control all the hate and the angst and bitterness that's being spread around today. But we can spread love. Luke 6:45 says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. What's flowing from our hearts? Listen to ourselves for a little while. We may not like what is actually flowing from here. Following Jesus is hard. It goes against our fallen nature. But Jesus tells us, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Give them a shirt off your back. And if they're not satisfied with that, give them your coat too. They smack you, let them smack you again. It's hard to love without conditions. And I will say again today what I've been saying in all of these talks. We need the power of God. We need the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to tell you I love like this because I don't. I can see things I need to get better at. Oh my goodness. But I will tell you honestly before God this morning, I want to love like this. And I want the Holy Spirit to enable me to love like this. And so in closing, I just ask you, does your love have conditions attached? I'm going to say one more time that I'm not saying we compromise the truth or that we say sin is okay. I'm saying that we are called to love sinners, to be compassionate and merciful, just like our Father is, to do good to those who hate us, and to bless those who curse us, to give without expecting in return. Jesus said, do these things. And as we approach Easter, we can remember that Jesus walked the talk. Because while we were yet sinners, and while they were rejecting him, and they were beating him, and they were accusing him of things he didn't do, he walked that hill, and he bore our sin on his shoulders. And as he hung there, he said, Father, forgive them and us. Let's love like Jesus loves.